Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast. We're live in Iowa, hours away from the Iowa precinct caucuses, and I'm going to take you inside a Marco Rubio event in Urbandale, Iowa.
Head east toward Northeast Dallas's Road, then turn right onto Northeast Dallas's Road.
In podcast 461. Well, we're going to head over to a Rubio event, which is at 7 p.m. at a conference center right around here. And I want to get there early and just see what's going on.
Midwest, then turn left.
Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley is going to be here.
Head east toward Northeast Dallas's Road.
And thank God for Google.
East Dallas's Road, then turn left onto Heckman Road.
We're going to head up there and get there early. And as Rubio seems to be surging, we're going to ask the question that after watching a number and going to a number of these events, is this really how we want to elect a president? Well, I am driving Mobile Podcast Command. It's a 2000 Ford Super Duty diesel, 7.3 diesel with an Allison transmission. This thing is awesome. And Ed Johnson, when I wanted to get a van for a podcast van, Ed said, "We're going to get you an ambulance." And I've had three Crown Vics from ex-government cars, and then of course this is the first truck, this ambulance that I got from ex-government cars, and it's great. So I can't say enough about it for a lot of reasons. First of all, exgovernmentcars.com has your new car, your new truck, or SUV ready to go, whether it's a snowplow or a work truck or a van. If you have a job and you need a car or truck, you can get approved. Right now, in the present time frame, which is, pre-tax time, especially since we're talking about government, don't forget to bring ex-government cars your tax return, and you can use it as a down payment, and your financing is then guaranteed. You can apply now at exgovernmentcars.com. As far as trades are concerned, Ed always wants me to remind people that he pays top dollar all the time without a bunch of bull. Bring in your trade and see what kind of a deal you can make. The best cars, trucks, SUVs, car loans are available for everybody. Trades are welcome. Great people. They have helped me out with all three of the Crown Vics and, of course, with the ambulance. And really, the best deals. Go, go, go to exgovernmentcars.com. And don't forget, X Government Cars is now open in Forest Lake at 356 19th Street. You can drive through there and see a great selection of ex-government cars as well as ex-government trucks. And yeah, I brought the bullhorn with me. In fact, I can just use the ambulance PA system.
ExGovernmentCars.com.
Sounds pretty impressive. Cruising along here down Heckman Road, which is the main thoroughfare in Urbandale, which is, a suburb of Des Moines. This isn't the middle of nowhere. I guess after this event tonight, since I'm not producing a podcast, I'll have to decide whether I want to go to another event for tomorrow, Sunday, somewhere outstate, maybe Davenport. So I know some people that are campaigning down there for Carly Farina. Maybe I'll head down that way. So there's nothing like seeing this process up close. What you have are at least 10 statewide campaigns for president up and running for almost a year in most cases. Really sophisticated campaigns with all of the associated personnel crisscrossing a largely rural state with television and radio advertising and everything else drawing national media coverage. We're literally watching ballerinas on a pinhead with a microscope and all that that entails. It's like these guys are running for president of Iowa. And in the end, maybe 150,000 people are going to caucus in Iowa, which has a total population of 3.5 million people. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that we've turned the presidency into a Super Bowl. And I don't think that that's what the intention of the founders ever was. And you wonder why there is so much money in politics. Okay, let me tell you what this is. So Rubio is going to be here. This is a Ramada. So I just want to set the scene a little bit, because this is so typical of the whole political thing. So the big draw of this particular hotel is that it has a water park, okay? And it looks like any kind of interchange in sub... I hate to call it suburbia. It's basically exurbia in Des Moines. So it's not that far from Des Moines. And it's just a kind of scrubby, you know, looking Ramada. There's really nothing to it. And then there's a conference center here. So the reason I'm pointing this out is if you're somebody who sees these events on television a lot, usually what they do is they cram as many people as they can. This is called the Tropics or Tropics Hotel or something like that. And it sounds really impressive, but it's just a conference center. That's all it is. There's nothing really to it. And, you know, they cram 50 to 100 people, maybe 300, 200 people into a place like this. And you think, wow, this is great. And there's nobody here yet. I'm the first person here. It's 3 o'clock, roughly 3 o'clock. So I'm the first person here. And it's just funny. In fact, I'm going to park this thing right in front so everybody can see it when they walk in. Perfect. So if you're media, there's really not much to do but go talk to supporters or people in the campaign. And my whole contention all along has been, these people are well aware of the fact that they are being monitored. I mean, let me just explain the scene here. I'm in the middle of the room. Right in front of me is a crowd of about, I don't know, 80 to 100 people at the most. It'll probably fill up, and there'll be 150, 200 people here by the time we're done. It's not a big conference room. It's, I can tell you, if you've been to a Radisson or a Marriott, anywhere in the country, they have these rooms that they can divide up. And there's a big long one, and then I'm standing in an area which has dividers that can be brought out to make two smaller ones, right? So you've got a big conference, and you see them all the time where they have breakfasts for lawyers and doctors and things like that if you go to whatever, DoubleTree in St. Louis Park or something, or, you know, the O'Hare Hilton or something. They have these rooms. So this is one, two rooms where the dividers have been pulled out, and then there's a third longer room that's maybe 70 feet long that by 20 feet wide that is the other room. So that's the room that we're standing in. So in front of me are these, all of the supporters, and behind me is a long table of media people. Now, the media people sit back here, and this is why I don't want media passes, generally speaking, because the media people are given these facilities where they can sit. Now, cameras, I understand. You know, if you want to get shots of an event, you got to have cameras up. They all have their little tables, and they have their little computers, and they sit here, and they watch these people as though we're the people. If you stand back by this table, the people are in a fishbowl. I mean, we're watching fish swim. That's what this is. And then the people with cameras or microphones circulate through the crowd and ask people what they think of the candidate and the other candidates. And, of course, being Iowans, they're cagey. So they won't really make a committal statement or whatever. I mean, it's just amusing because who knows what these people are going to do Monday. And we're hanging on every word that they say. And we're writing stories about everything that they say. And we're using that to feed into larger storylines. That's what's going on. Fascinating. How can I say this? There's two things going on here. First of all, these candidates, in order to win the state, have to do this. If they want to win this primary, this caucus, they have to go to these little towns all over the state and do these events. and they need to get as many people in as possible to get to rev up the crowds to get people to their to the caucus to caucus for them Monday night. That's the game. And I think mostly these events are for people who are already working in campaigns to kind of keep them their spirits up so that they can go out and do what they do. You know, and of course you've got curious, interested people that want to see, you know, they want to see the spectacle. They want to see, they're doing the same thing I'm doing. This is political tourism. You know, this is a new, I'm going to start a new category of reporting called political tourism. And, you know, you walk through these crowds, and I can tell you one thing that I learned from the Trump thing, and I'm sure the same thing's true as here. You have no idea what these people are thinking. You have no idea what they're going to do on Monday, and they're not going to tell you. You know, you getting to the bottom of what is actually going to happen is like asking people how much money they make, or, you know, what they're going to do with the rest of their life, or anything else. They're just going to tell you what they think you want to hear. And this whole machine is built on this, and yet, what is it? It's a retail campaign to get supporters and people fired up to go caucus for you to a caucus that about 6% of Iowans are going to show up at overall. And if the weather's bad, it's going to be even less. That's the deal. And, you know, for the politicians, they have to do this. But for this to be a spectacle that becomes media, what's the story here? You know, is Marco Rubio going to come out and do something newsworthy? No, I can tell you what he's going to do without even knowing. You know, he's going to come out. He has a set speech that he's made four or five times today. They do generally four events a day. He's probably made the speech 25 or 30 times since he got to Iowa. And it starts out with, hey, you know, welcome, and Steve, it's good to see you here, and whatever, and then it goes on, and then at the end of it, he'll say something current. I mean, this isn't the movie from the 1930s where the jury is in and the reporters run to the telephones. You know, Al Capone is guilty. He's going to jail. This is just a standard political event that people are coming out for because they have nothing better to do, I think. By and large, it's like, bring the kids. We're going to go to this Marco thing because it's free, you know? And then we'll go to the Hy-Vee for dinner, or we'll go to Fridays or something. That's it. I mean, that's really what's going on. And then here in the back, we have the, you know, young supporters and campaign workers. A lot of this is campaign workers. And there you go. And then there's the press aides that these campaigns all have, who spend a lot of time policing the press and telling us how transparent the campaign is. And they're very transparent until you want to talk to the candidate, or until you get loose and they don't know who you are or what you're doing. Listen to this. Oh, we've got to put a special lineup that says so you can't get up here because Neil Cavuto is going to be here. I gotta video this. This is hilarious.
Press advance. I'm in charge of the media here.
Great.
What outlet are you at?
I'm with my own outlet. That's my truck out there.
You have a truck here?
Yeah, I have a truck.
What a sort of product do you bring?
I do a syndicated radio show, and I also do podcasts.
Okay,
so
great.
I'm just driving all over the state doing podcasts.
Awesome.
Bob Davis is right now.
Bob Davis.
Who's that too? What's your name again? I'm sorry.
Christine,
that's right.
Christine, sorry. No, it's fine. So have you covered one of our events before?
I have not.
So let me give you the quick rundown. I was like, I don't recognize him. So basically, he comes in, he does his rally. He always stays to shake hands after for a while, well, most of the time, and try to meet as many people here as possible. For members of the media, we have this whole back area reserved for you guys.
Right.
So if you want to do interviews before with people, totally welcome to. And then as soon as he finishes his rally, or his, like, speech, I guess, you're welcome to, like, move around, talk to people, as many people as you want. We're pretty, give you guys pretty good access.
Is he going to do any?
He's not doing a media mail.
He's not?
No.
Okay.
He's not taking any questions. But yeah.
So everybody wants, so tell me about these people. Are these supporters, or are these campaign workers, or who are they? Do you know?
I can't go on the record, but it's public. It's open invite.
Oh, okay.
So whoever wants to come is welcome.
Right. Well, great. questions. I'm just here to check it out. And
well, welcome. You know, we're glad to have you.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
That's good.
Good to meet you.
Good to meet you. I need to get you a credential because you're going to get stopped if you don't have
Yeah, well, I asked him for one, but he said he didn't have enough. So should I come up with you? All right, well, I'll stand here. So if you come across me, that'd be great. It would help a lot. Okay, so there was a piece of paper that said reserved for Neil Cavuto laying on the riser, and I was trying to take a picture of it. And they covered it up. Well, down here in Iowa, they're talking about the big snowstorm that is coming, perhaps starting Monday night. I know Minnesota will be getting it Tuesday morning. So we're entering this freeze-thaw season in Minnesota and Wisconsin and Iowa, Minneapolis and St. Paul. This is this part of the year, the part of the winter where things freeze, then they thaw, then they freeze. We have pleasant weather, then it gets cold. That's really bad for the pipes. So if you have an emergency, if you have a water heater go out, my mom's water heater just went out last week because of the snowstorm out east. If you need a new water heater, if you have an emergency, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating. They go metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs too. So they've got a plumber near you pretty much wherever you are in the metro. 651-224-4771 on the St. Paul side. 612-927-6488 on the Minneapolis side. For four generations, Ryan Plumbing and Heating has been all about quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol, where they've always been. Again, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating if you have emergencies this winter. 651-224-4771 in St. Paul. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, and thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts. And then, of course, we have a thing set up so that nobody can get back there because I guess Neil Cavuto is going to be here. And good for Neil, you know. But it's just, you know, is this really worthy? And what does it mean? Well, is it press worthy, in other words? What does it mean? You know, unless they know he's going to say something that we don't know about, but I doubt it. What does it mean? It means that the media infrastructure, the hardware, you know, that is the cable news channels and the internet sites and the radio stations and the TV stations and, you know, news sites and international media as well. The hardware infrastructure, sorry, is in need of software. It needs to be filled up. And so when people say, I wish they would talk about things of substance, myself included, you know, I say that all the time. You know, I don't think people realize how many hours. So if you take each of the cable channels, all the TV stations, all the radio stations, all the networks, all the personalities, all of the whole thing, and multiply it, the number of hours in a day, 24. The number of hours in a week, 320. Okay? You're talking about literally tens of thousands of hours of time that has to be filled with something. And, you know, kid down a well stories don't come along very often. This is the whole thing with media that's not on demand. And, you know, the on demand stuff, as soon as you put it up, people consume it. So you have to put something new up. So it creates a very high level of disposability in terms of what is considered news. In other words, the specific definition of news being a chronicle of an event or events of the day, right? So the whole thing is that this maw, this machine, wants as much information as it can get. Thus, a statewide caucus, which is in a backwater, and a very nice backwater it is, becomes national news for months because every candidate, every news outlet, every political person is here. It's just fascinating. So it's all about optics. The small room packed with 200 people, overbooking events by the thousands, which Donald Trump has excelled at, the town hall with specially selected demographics in front of the cameras, the stars coming to support a candidate that just walk in the room, and around here that's a big deal. Some candidates say the media isn't substantive enough, but they only make themselves available to media personalities who can help them. So who's the star here? The media? The state of Iowa? The candidates? The pollsters? With all the spectacle going on, and it's been going on for at least 8 months in Iowa, to hear some people tell it, Iowa is actually doing the rest of us a favor. No one asked them to do that favor, but they're working really hard at it.
What do you think about all this craziness? I'll interview you.
Well, I'm National Committee Woman.
Oh, you are? You're a National Committee. One of them, you have two for the state or one?
A man and a woman. Okay. And then a chair.
What do you think?
It's exciting. You see the energy. It's fun. How long have you been in the state? So you see the energy, you see all the activity. We've been going at this for a year. I mean, Iowans take this very seriously. When the rest of America's at the beach or at the golf club, we're in town hall meetings like this. And we don't think that we select the nominee, but we take it very seriously that we vet every potential nominee. So we're not here to pick for the nation. We're just to open it up and start the process. And you have to start somewhere. And Iowa's perfect because candidates, because they can drive anywhere in the state in a day. Media is affordable. The state goes Republican and Democrat, both, and it's a great place to test a candidate.
Has it been kind of an industry in Iowa?
Well, you see that a little bit. Once you learn the lay of the land, people want that person to help them along with the next campaign, next cycle. You know, your database becomes your worth. But it's not that it's a cottage industry and the fact that we're all getting rich. It's that we all believe that strongly in what we're doing.
That sounds kind of like a That sounds kind of like a pat answer.
Oh, well, I didn't mean it that way, but I mean, we've just, this, you know, people look at the media and they think this is just a lot of income to a state. It's a lot of cost to the people, a lot of wear and tear, weary volunteers. We really put out for this about a year out before everybody else has started.
Yeah. Do you think Iowa's representative of the United States?
We don't claim to be, but as a vast portion, yeah, I think we are. And like I said, we don't think we're picking the nominee, but we start the process. And as a party, both Democrats and Republicans can win here, but it's a great chance. You may have a candidate who has great name recognition, but once they get into the state, they don't seem to grow past that. You need to know that before you have a national campaign.
So this is like a mini national campaign here, and that's the value.
Yeah, right. I think we are to the primary process what the Electoral College is to the election. If you take this away, I really don't know that the grassroots will be heard again. I think you'll have the top-down, well-funded, well-known, well-embedded candidates. I don't think you'll get authentic grassroots like a Huckabee, a Santorum.
Well, I don't know how they would fix it, rotating the first primary between 50 states.
Now, that's going to be such a risk because then you've got so many other factors to put into place besides just your candidates. And this takes so much out of a candidate. Imagine giving up 2 years of your life. If you change this around from state to state, they're going to have no idea how to embark on this process.
Well, I mean, the whole thing about being a candidate is, you know, it makes you really famous. So you can do a lot after that because of these people standing back here. What do you think about all this media? You know, all these damn media people.
And I think that's what
makes
the country and the world think that it's this cottage industry. But we're just Iowans coming out. I mean, these people have driven hours, some of them, just because this is the Saturday they could come see this candidate. So everyone cares so deeply, and we don't all have the same values. That's the American way as well. You better show up with your values and vote for your candidate.
So what was the percentage of Iowans voting or caucusing in 2012?
Percentage, I'm not sure. I'll leave that to the pundits. But I think we're expecting around 120,000, 150,000. I'm telling my folks to plan for 50% more, 40% more than they had last time, to be ready to have lots of help at the door to get people in quickly and efficiently. And, you know, this is not a binding election. This is a straw poll.
Not the straw poll, though. This is the caucus.
You're thinking
taking the straw poll that we had in August. Yeah. But this vote is not an election vote.
They just write it on a piece of paper.
This is a straw poll vote.
Yeah, in Minnesota, you know, with the caucuses up there, they're actually going to send out, they're going to have give them ballots. What do you think of that?
I think however each state wants to do it is absolutely fine for them.
I like the idea that it's that you write it on a piece of paper and, you know, it goes into a bag and somebody counts it in the back. You know, I think that's great. Or the front.
You count in the front. So
got in the front.
Transparency.
Well, they're in transparent bags. What's your name again?
Tamara Scott.
Now, to end this podcast, I have taken a long speech by Marco Rubio and telescoped it to about 9 minutes so you can get the flavor of what his stump speech is all about, and you can draw your own conclusions. I'm not going to tell you what I think of what he has to say, because it would take 10 podcasts, and I don't know that I would be able to add to it. The whole point of doing these podcasts this way, of not necessarily pushing to get an interview with the candidate or standing in the scrum to get an answer to a question, is I want to bring you inside the event with all the noise and all the background ambience and let you experience what it's like to be here, and you can draw your own conclusions. So here is Marco Rubio's stump speech. He was introduced by Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, speaking in plain old Iowan, and then we hear Senator Rubio.
So when you're going to welcome Senator Rubio now, and you're going to welcome a person that come up the hard way. Senator Rubio, welcome to Iowa once again.
Kidding, it's warm in here. But I am grateful to all of you for being here. Let me just begin by saying this, and I'm not just saying it because he's here. I've said this for years. There is no one in the United States Senate that does a better job of representing their state than Chuck Grassley, and I'm honored to come out here. This is incredible. This is by far our largest crowd, not just this day, but this week. An incredible number of people here, a lot of young people here. I thank you for coming. I know they lied to you and told you there was an open bar after the event, but we got you here, and that's all that matters. Now that you're here, that's all that matters. But I'm glad you're here, because this election is about you. It's elections about all of us, but it is about young Americans more than anyone else, because this election is about what kind of country we are going to be in the 21st century. And I believe, as you believe, that this country is the most exceptional nation in the history of all of mankind. There's never been a country like it. 7 years ago, America elected a president who wasn't interested in fixing our problems. We elected a president that wanted to change America, that wanted America to become more like the rest of the world. And you've seen the results. The results is a president that completely ignores the Constitution as a matter of normal course. Illegal executive order after illegal executive order. He undermines the Second Amendment, undermines religious liberties. We have a president that views America as an arrogant global power, a nation that needed to be cut down to size. That's why he cuts deals with our enemies like Iran. That's why he betrays our allies like Israel. That's why he guts our military. That's why he goes around the world apologizing for America. And the result is the anger that people now feel. And I want to be fair, the anger is not just against Democrats and Barack Obama, it's against Republicans too. For Washington is truly out of touch. Never has it been more out of touch than it is right now. Isn't it illegal to be a vegetarian in Iowa? I know, I just offended the vegetarians. I apologize to all six of you. Anyway, if I'm our nominee, I will defeat Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. You know who knows that as well? Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. That's why Hillary Clinton attacks me more than any other Republican. She doesn't want to run against me. I can't wait to run against her. I cannot wait. My four kids are saying, Dad, is it going to snow tomorrow in Iowa? Because they want it to snow. I said, kids, listen to me. Iowa does not want snow. I am against snow. I didn't tell them about Tuesday. It's coming. When people come here to run for president, you deserve to know what they're going to do. Anger is not a plan. You have a right to be angry. You have a right to be angry. But anger is not a plan. You have to know how we're going to fix it. And I want to describe to you tonight just a few of the things we're going to do when you elect me president of the United States. And before the eyes of this nation and under the eyes of God, I will swear to uphold and defend the Constitution. And unlike Barack Obama, I will actually mean it. I will defend the Second Amendment because you have a God-given constitutional right to defend your family from criminals and from terrorists. We will defend religious liberties. We want to care for the less fortunate. It is why we are the most compassionate people on earth. And you better hope we have a president that's influenced by values like that. When I'm president, we will. The first thing I'm going to do is I am going to immediately repeal every single one of Barack Obama's unconstitutional executive orders. This Obama policy of taking federal taxpayer money and using it to pay for abortions overseas, it ends on my first day in office. This ridiculous and dangerous deal with Iran, it will be canceled my first day in the Oval Office. We are going to restore our economy. That's why we're going to fix our tax code. That's why we're going to roll back regulations. That's why we're going to save Social Security and Medicare and in the process bring our debt under control. That's why we're going to fully utilize all of our energy resources. And if we do that, there will not be an economy in the world that can stand up with America, and we will create the best paying jobs of the new economy right here in the United States. When I'm president, we're getting rid of Obamacare once and for all. Our number one priority right now must be to keep ISIS out of the United States. When I'm president, if we don't know who you are and we don't know why you're trying to come here, you are not getting into the United States of America. When I'm president, instead of hiring 20,000 new IRS agents, we're going to hire 20,000 new border agents. There will be no amnesty. Illegal immigrants that are dangerous criminals will be immediately deported, and sanctuary cities that flaunt our laws and welcome criminals into their midst, they will lose all of their federal funding when I am president. We don't have a federal government to run our schools. We don't need a Department of Education. And we don't need to be forcing Common Core on our schools, on our parents, on our principals. The world is more dangerous than it was 7 years ago. North Korea is governed by a lunatic. And I mean that in the most respectful way. The Chinese government, not the Chinese people, the Chinese government hacks into our computers. They're expanding their military. They steal secrets from our inventors, products from American companies. They're taking over the South China Sea. Vladimir Putin is poisoning people, taking over the sowing instability in the Middle East, sowing instability in Europe. Iran is about to get $100 billion of sanctions relief because of Barack Obama. ISIS is an apocalyptic group. You know what they believe? This is what they believe. They believe that there's going to be a final showdown in a city named Dabiq. I have to be careful how I pronounce that, because one time it sounded like Dubuque and people freaked out. And I said, no, not Dubuque, Dubuque. Either they win or we win. Well, how are we going to defeat them with what's happening to our military now? Here's where our military is now under Barack Obama. We will soon have the smallest army since the end of World War II. We will soon have the smallest navy in 100 years. And we will soon have the smallest Air Force and the oldest airplanes we have had in the history of the United States. That's what Barack Obama is doing to our military. Quite frankly, I cannot believe, I find it unacceptable that anyone would run for president in the party of Reagan and brag about voting for a budget that brags about cutting our defense spending. And so I want to be abundantly clear, in case anyone here believes that that's the right approach, I don't think you do. But I want to be clear with you. When I am president, we're not cutting the military. When I am president, we are going to rebuild the U.S. military because the world is a safer and better place. And if we capture any of these ISIS killers alive, they're not getting a lawyer. They're not going to have the right to remain silent. They are going to Guantanamo. In less than 48 hours, you, the people of Iowa, will be the first Americans that answer the question of what comes next for America after 7 years of Barack Obama. I would say that all elections are important. This one is unique. Not every election is a turning point in American history. History will write that 2016 was a turning point in the history of this great land. And there are only two possible outcomes. It will write that this was the year when America re-embraced everything that made her great, and she became greater than she ever was. Or it will write that this is the year where we stayed on the course Barack Obama put us on. And I'm asking you to caucus for me. Because I know that if I'm our nominee, not only will we win, but we have a chance to make things better. We have a chance to turn things around. We will be back in Iowa. We're going to win the general election here. We're going to defeat the Democrats, and we are going to turn America around. Thank you, and God bless you. Thank you.
Well, I think Rubio said it best at the end, and maybe he doesn't even realize what he said. Perhaps the most important vote in decades in this country will not be taken as a nation, but as a state. The state of Iowa is deciding whether or not certain candidates, just pick one, Carly Farina or Rand Paul or maybe even Marco Rubio or Donald Trump. The state of Iowa is deciding whether or not, through a caucus process, is deciding whether or not that candidate is viable. Is that okay with you? You know, there is much to celebrate about our electoral process in this country, but I also think it's fair to point out consistently and continuously that there is also a dark force, a dangerous symbiosis of big money, big government, and big media, and big polling, and personalities that was never envisioned by our founders. You can become very famous running for president. You can become very famous working on a campaign and getting on television commenting. And everybody knows this. And that's why they converge on this state. They talk about coverage of politics as a sport, but nobody seems to know what to do about it. So from here, it's on to Jefferson, Iowa, to cover the caucuses, as we are finally going to get to the first vote in the nation. So thanks for listening to podcast 461. Remember, if you have water heater problems, if you have plumbing problems related to the cold weather, the freezing and the thawing that we're getting into now, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul, that means the suburbs too. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, both for residential and business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Don't forget, xgovernmentcars.com has your new car, truck, or SUV ready to go. Mobile Podcast Command is a great example. Don't forget, also, especially at tax time, you take your tax return as your down payment, and your financing is guaranteed. All credit levels. Don't forget, xgovernmentcars, also now open in Forest Lake. And keep listening for more information about ex-government cars and ex-government trucks. Thanks, Ed, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Here comes the bullhorn.
ExGovernmentCars.com.
Thanks to the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast.com, Alpha Systems. Pilots, you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings. You want to get there, but you want to get there safely. And Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator, which helps with that. In fact, bottom line, Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. It has. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. Takes you to their page, and it explains what they do and how they do it. And thank you for being the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcasts. And thanks to you guys for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, GCN Live for the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. And thanks a lot for liking, sharing, favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter. I'm posting a lot of videos on this trip and doing a lot of tweets, and I really appreciate you guys jumping in. And thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com for diesel fuel. You are helping me get where I need to go and cover all these events, and I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening to Podcast 461. It's time to get out of here as people are talking about caucuses as we speak. Well, always interesting, you know. But again, you heard at the end, it's all about caucusing. You know, it's all about getting people out to the caucus.